with the abundant life that you and I have in Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 10, verse 10, we are given abundant wisdom. Now, God's abundant wisdom can be found in the following people and places. First of all, the abundant wisdom can be found in the wisdom of the Lord. In the wisdom of the Lord. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, and the words of God say this: In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Amen. And then Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom in the Lord, he has it all. Notice also in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, we read this: There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. So there's no wisdom against the Lord. Amen. He has it all. He has all the wisdom that there is to have. No one else has all the wisdom as he has. Now notice with me how that God destroys the wisdom of the wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 19 and 20, the word of God says this: For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Also, we want to see, if you and I want wisdom, all we need to is to ask it of God, because he has it all. He has all the wisdom there is to have. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we read this: If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, the Lord has all the wisdom. Amen. And if you need wisdom, you ask it of God. But you have to ask it in faith, in a heart attitude of faith. If you ask it of God and don't think he's going to give it to you, then you're going to be like the unstable man. He's double-minded. Amen. He's unstable in all his ways. And you're not going to receive the wisdom that you ask because you didn't ask it in faith. Amen. Now, if you ask him, you better follow what he shows you, or he will cut you off and you will be unstable. So if you go and ask God wisdom and he gives it to you, and you don't take it and follow it, amen, then you're going to be cut off. You're going to be unstable. Where else can wisdom be found? Well, wisdom is in the Bible. Wisdom is in the Bible, is it not? In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, we read this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. In the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. The Bible, the words of Almighty God, that's where wisdom can be found. Amen. So we as Christians, if we want to get God's wisdom, then we need to be in his book. We need to be in the words of God. Amen. We're told here that wisdom cries with right and plain words to the simple and the fools. Amen. It's there. It's not hard to understand. It's very plain. It's right there to be found in the words of God. You see, God reveals his wisdom to babes. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, we read this. Luke 10, 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So God reveals his wisdom to babes, not to the wise and the prudent of this world. You see, because they think they know it all already. Amen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 34 to 36, and we'll read it in just a moment, the words of God tell us to get our wisdom daily. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So we're to get our wisdom daily in the Word of God. So it's very important for you and I to be daily in the words of Almighty God, not just sporadically, you know, once in a while. That's not going to help you. That's not going to make it. Amen. You need to get a dose of God's wisdom on a daily basis. Amen. Whoso findeth wisdom findeth life, and it shall obtain favor of the Lord. Amen. So those are the things I know that I want. Don't you want a longer life and have obtain favor of the Lord? Amen. But if you sin against his wisdom, our passage here tells us, you will wrong your own soul. So if you want to find life in favor of the Lord, I want to be in God's favor. I don't know about you. So if you go in, you get God's wisdom daily. You know what God wants you to do. But if you sin against that wisdom, you will wrong your own soul. There'll be consequences. Amen. How many times Christians see the wisdom of God, but they decide to choose the wisdom of this world? Don't do it, because you're going to be in a world of hurt. Amen. You're going to wrong your own soul. So far, as we see in the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ, we are given abundant wisdom. And we've been looking, where can we find that abundant wisdom? We saw that wisdom is in the Lord. He has it all. Wisdom is in the Bible. And then lastly, wisdom is in wise counselors. Wisdom is in wild counselors. Let's look at some verses in Proverbs. First, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. We read this: where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Here's a warning: where there is no counsel, the people fall. But the multitude of counselors, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, we need to go to wise counselors. Be it a preacher, teacher, amen, whoever it may be. We need to seek their wise counsel. If we don't, we'll fall, we'll fail, amen. Proverbs 12, verse 15 tells us, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearken unto counsel is wise. So the fool here is described as someone who doesn't want to hear wise counsel. He thinks he knows all the answers. He's right and you're wrong. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. See? So you need counsel on something, you need help with something that you're going through, you have a good godly pastor, go to him. Amen. Good godly friends, go to them. And then in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, we read this: every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. See, you are a fool to proceed in a way without first obtaining wise counsel. When you ignore wise counsel or reject wise counsel so that you can do what you want to do, your decision is going to cost you. You always come out better, but in the long run, amen, by receiving and following wise counsel. Even here, it talks about, in Proverbs 20:18, making war. We know the president, down through the history of our country, before war was made, he sought good advice, his counselors, his staff, be it the Secretary of Defense, or someone ahead of the National Security Agency. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. You're a fool if you think you know all the answers and you know what is right, then you're in for a world of hurt. Amen. We don't get just a little bit of wisdom when we come to the Lord. The Bible and wise counselors, we get abundant wisdom. So we see that we have as part of our abundant life in Christ, with that goes abundant wisdom. But you need to look for it in the right places. It can be found in the Lord, in the Bible, and in wise counselors. Amen. Now, we're going to continue on as we look at the things, the abundant things that we have, because we have the abundant life in Christ. With our abundant life in Christ, we are given abundant power. Abundant power. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 20 to 21. We read this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You see, many Christians don't tap into the power that worketh in us. We just said, and we saw that Paul said, with this power, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we ask the question, what is this abundant power? It is, first of all, his regenerating power. His regenerating power. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, the words of God say this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul said that. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And why wasn't he? He tells us, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Amen. It's the power of the gospel that people are regenerated, that they're born again, that they're saved, that they'll have a home in heaven when they die. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we read this: "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness." To a lot of people, when you give them the gospel, they'll think you're crazy. You've lost your mind, or you've joined a cult or something else. They think it's foolishness. But to us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Those of us that are saved know that it is the power of God. It is the gospel that regenerates the lost sinner. It's that power of the gospel that it's God's regenerating power. Now, again, so we ask the question, what is this abundant power? Amen. It's his God's regenerating power. It's also his resident power, his resident power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we read this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." So Paul is equating the believer's body as an earthen vessel. And he says, with inside of us, we have this treasure. And he goes on, he tells us what that treasure is: "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." When we are saved, God lives in us. Thus, his power is in us. Jesus lives inside of us. The same power that resurrected Christ is in us. Amen. Jesus said, in fact, that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth, in Matthew 28, verse 18. We must, as believers, let him use his power to do the things in us that we cannot do. Now, for example, the Holy Spirit is that treasure that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that we have in our earthen vessels inside of us. So the Holy Spirit lives in us, and through him we have power. Before the Lord left his disciples and he was resurrected up into heaven, in the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 8, he said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in all of Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." His resonant power, his indwelling Holy Spirit. So the Lord knew before he was ascended into heaven that the apostles, the disciples there, needed power to be his witness on this earth. Amen. And he gave them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, because he knew in and of themselves, and you in and of ourselves, don't have the power to witness for him. Amen. That's the power. When you witness to someone on how to be saved, when you give them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, yielded to the power that is within you if anything is going to get accomplished. Amen. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, be it witnessing. Amen. Being living for the Lord. You can't live for the Lord in the flesh. Your flesh hates the things of God. Your flesh hates to witness. Your sinful flesh hates going to church. Your sinful flesh hates reading, studying, and meditating upon the Word of God. Amen. Your sinful flesh doesn't want to forgive others that have wronged you and ask for your forgiveness, you see. Your sinful flesh doesn't want you to get down on your knees, amen, and humble yourself before Almighty God. None of those things, my dear listeners, can be accomplished without the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every believer. That's why he's given us that resident power. It resides in you and I. And to tap into God's power, we must yield to God. Amen. We need to yield to Almighty God on a daily basis. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 4 and 5, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." You know, there are some people out back in Paul's day and in our days who are great orators, great speakers. They know the English language and the right words to use, and the nouns and the adverbs and the adjectives to try to, you see it a lot in advertisement, to sway people to buy something. But Paul's making it clear. When I spoke and when I preached, it was not with the enticing of man's wisdom. It wasn't man's wisdom or man's spirit that I use, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, when I preach and I speak, amen, it's demonstration, it's evidence in me, amen, of the Spirit of God, His power working in and through me. Then in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul makes it clear, does he not? Because he spoke and he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit power, that when people heard that, him speak and preach, their faith was not put in man's wisdom, no, but in God's wisdom, in the power of God. That persuaded, it was the power of the Holy Spirit in Paul that's persuaded man and men, women and children to be saved. That's what convinced them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not some fancy language or some fancy speech or some words, amen, using the worldly wisdom of man, amen, no. It's the power of God, Holy Spirit power that indwelled Paul and indwelled us that gets anything accomplished for God, amen. And that goes along with preaching, teaching, witnessing, praying, whatever it is. What's interesting, in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, where Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God, he says this in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's saying, tap into that power that resides in you. That's how we can be strong in the Lord, you and I, is it not? That's the only way that we, on a continuous basis, can go out and fight that spiritual battle on a daily basis. To be strong in the Lord is through the power of His might. Not us, not our might, not our power, not our strength, but only through the power of God. That abundant power that resides in each and every one of us, because it goes along with the abundant life that the Lord came to give each and every one of us. Along with that life, to live it is His power. Amen. That resurrection power. Amen. So, when you meditate upon our lesson and what we're discussing here today, we sometimes forget about the power that each and every one of us has inside of us, that Holy Spirit power. And the only way we can tap into it is to be yielded to Almighty God on a daily basis. You have to make the conscious decision when you wake up each and every day, who am I going to be yielded to? Amen. Am I going to be yielded to the sinful flesh or to the Spirit of God? And if I'm yielded to the Spirit of God, then I will have that power to live for the Lord that day. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor study. Till we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer and prayer.